Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we live in a world of great strife, a world in which we face many challenges that threaten to rob us of joy and thankfulness. But you call us to another way. And I pray that this morning your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts, turning our attention to you, enabling us to understand the secret, Lord, to thankfulness and peace in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on Thanksgiving, our entire nation set aside time to count our blessings. As Christians, we know that the many blessings we have been given do not simply come to us through our own hard work or personal merit, but are blessings given to us from our Lord, who alone gives us the ability to work and to achieve. At an even deeper level, beyond material blessings, we are grateful for the good things that God is doing in our lives, for the peace, the joy, the blessings that He gives us that nothing else on this earth can supply. The challenge, though, with the holiday of Thanksgiving is that it meets us at times in our lives in which we may not be feeling very peaceful or joyful. Perhaps you're struggling with a difficult situation in your workplace. Perhaps you feel that no matter how hard you try, you cannot raise your grade in that one class. Perhaps your heart aches because a relationship you deeply value has been strained. In these difficult, lonely moments, Thanksgiving Day still marches toward us on our calendar, meets us, and reminds us of something that should be true for us each and every day of our lives, that we should live with continual thanksgiving to God for all He has done for us. How, though, can we be thankful when the challenges and heartaches of life threaten to push out all of our gratitude? When he wrote the book of Philippians, Paul had good reason not to be thankful. Scholars believe that he wrote this letter from a Roman prison while he was on trial before Caesar. His life literally hung in the balance. If the trial did not go well, if he lost this trial, there would be no further opportunity for appeal. He would be executed. And that, in fact, is what eventually happened. I find that thankfulness is the greatest struggle for me when life feels uncertain. When I don't know what the next step of the journey will be. When it feels like my life hangs in the balance and things could either work out well or not at all. In moments like these, typically, I don't feel grateful. I feel anxious. Paul, though, as he sat in that Roman prison during a long and difficult trial, as his life hung in the balance and he could either be released or executed, learned something very important about overcoming anxiety. He says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is an amazing deal. We give God our prayers and thanksgiving. He gives us His peace. Now, one thing that Paul is not talking about as he writes from prison with his life hanging in the balance is false optimism. The kind of attitude that only focuses on the bright side. The kind of false attitude that believes it's all good when it's really not. Paul knows that sometimes things here on earth go very, very poorly. He's a realist, I don't think he's necessarily an optimist. Elsewhere, he describes for the church of Corinth how difficult his life has been. And he says this, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who wants a life like this? When your parents ask you, what are you going to be someday when you grow up? Would you ever say, I want a life just like the Apostle Paul's? That would be great. It would be hard. It would be difficult. Paul was not someone who was full of fake optimism, that things would just somehow work out on their own. He had suffered deeply, and he's suffering deeply right now as he's writing the book of Philippians. But in the midst of his suffering, he gives us the key to thankfulness and joy. No matter what challenges we're facing, even in those moments when our lives hang in the balance, when the challenges and heartaches of life threaten to push out our ability to be thankful to God, the key is this. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, this is not just advice to pray more. Yes, I do think Paul would have us pray more, but I think he's talking about something much deeper here. Paul is inviting us to live our lives before God with complete openness and complete honesty. To live our lives before God in such a way that we present to Him every difficulty, every challenge that we face, every heartache that we carry. Now, King Hezekiah in the Old Testament provides a picture of what this looks like, what it means to live our lives before God with openness and honesty. In Isaiah 36-37, we read that the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, captures all the fortified cities of Judah, and then he sends his commanders to Jerusalem to tell them that they're about to destroy this city as well. God, though, has different plans, and God promises to protect and deliver Jerusalem. But think about this situation for just a moment. Assyria is the most powerful nation on earth. It's a kingdom that has spread out throughout the Mediterranean world and it's swallowed other kingdoms, nation after nation. No one has stopped them. No one can stand before them. And they go to Jerusalem and they say, "You are next." Can you imagine the fear that must have filled the hearts of those in the city? This was a terrible crisis. The commanders of Assyria then go to the walls of Jerusalem and they mock God by saying this. They say, "Do not let Hezekiah mislead you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Have the gods of any other nation ever delivered their lands from the king of Assyria? Who of all the gods of these countries have been able to save their lands from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" Now, by making these claims, The Assyrians were attempting to set themselves up above God, as though they were more powerful than the Lord. And let's be honest, there are many times in our lives where our challenges, the problems we face, our pain, or our disappointments, puff themselves up so large in our minds that we cannot see beyond them. And we cannot imagine how we'll ever make it past them. They capture our attention. They threaten us. And we feel lost and alone at the mercy of our circumstances. In this moment, King Hezekiah, in Jerusalem, surrounded by the most powerful army on earth, King Hezekiah shows us exactly what to do when we feel that our life is hanging in the balance, when we feel that we are overwhelmed by the challenges of life. The Assyrian army temporarily withdraws to fight someone else, but then the Assyrian king sends Hezekiah a letter in which he repeats his threats and again claims that the God of Israel will not be able to save Jerusalem. Hezekiah, though, knows something that the king of Assyria does not know, which is that the Lord God Almighty rules over all the nations of the earth, and He alone rules over each of our lives. And so Hezekiah takes this letter full of threats from the king of Assyria. Hezekiah takes this letter into the presence of God in the temple, and he spreads this letter before God on the ground, and he prays to God. And he says this. He's very open and honest with God. He says, "It's true, Lord. It's true that the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these other peoples and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God." You see, Hezekiah does not choose empty optimism. He chooses uncompromising realism. He spreads the letter out in the presence of God, opening up to God exactly what is going on in his life. He's brutally honest with God, and he pours out to God his thoughts on exactly what is going on and how bad the situation really, really is. But then, rather than inventing his own strategy or his own schemes for success, Hezekiah calls upon the one and only God, the only one who can save. God then responds. And God says something very, very interesting to Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah. Listen to this. God says this: "Because you have prayed to me." Because you have prayed to me concerning the king of Assyria, I will defend this city and save it. Hezekiah, because you prayed to me, God says, I will deliver you. I will protect you from the biggest crisis of your life. I will guard you from the most powerful army on the face of the earth. We read in Scripture then that the Lord is true to his word. He sends out his angel, who puts to death 185,000 soldiers in the camp of Assyria. The Assyrian king then, for the first time probably in his life, returns home in defeat, and then is assassinated by his own sons. How many times when we face a crisis do we look elsewhere? We look to anyone else but to God. Yet our Lord rules over all things. He's greater than any difficulty you or I will ever face. And he's able to heal any heartache that we carry. He wants us to look to him first in our challenges, in our time of need. When the difficulties rush in, when we feel that our lives hang in the balance. But to live our lives in openness and with this type of honesty before God, this requires that we have the faith to believe that our God can work even in our life, that he can deliver us even from our situation. This type of faith, though, requires that we believe the stories of Scripture, that these stories of Scripture do not simply tell us what God did long ago, but that Scripture tells us who this God is and who he still is today. And it describes the types of things that he wants to do in our lives as well. Are we willing to believe that God can do this? Are we able to believe that God can deliver us? Are we willing to live our lives with such openness and honesty before God that we spread out before him the letter, the situation, how bad things really are, and then call upon him to deliver us? Zephaniah 3:17 says this: "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." We simply take God at his word, believe that he is mighty to save, and then in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we present our requests to God. Well, over the last month, I faced a significant challenge with my car. You see, my check engine light went on, and the error code that my car was giving me meant that two sensors needed to be changed. Replace. The challenge, though, was this: that these two sensors are located deep inside the engine. Basically, I needed to remove the top two layers of my engine in order to access the parts that needed to be changed. These are actual photos of my engine. As the realization began to sink in of how complicated this job would be, and how much time it would involve, something unusual and surprising also happened. I lifted up the situation to God in prayer, and his peace, God's assurance, began to sink in a deep and surprising way. You see, in my own flesh, situations like this would normally stress me out. Now, though, God's peace was filling me in a sense that God would help me through. Bonnie's parents graciously allowed me to park my car in their garage over several weeks, and then they lent me one of their vehicles while I worked on my car little by little during my spare time. Through God's grace and empowerment, I was able to fix the problem. And I drove my car here to church today. I'm so grateful. I really am. I now can look back on this situation with thankfulness as a time in which I experienced God's peace in a very challenging situation. And I received his peace rather than the anxiety that would normally fill me. In Philippians, we are given the promise that if we live openly and honestly before God, spreading out before him our crises and calling upon him for help, then God's peace will protect us. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace is not fragile. God's peace is not like a temporary mood that can be easily shattered by minor setbacks. God's peace is like concrete in our souls that provides us with an unshakable foundation. God's peace is like a shield that surrounds us and that guards our hearts and our minds. Kevlar is an extremely strong plastic developed by DuPont that's made of synthetic fiber strands. These strands are then woven together to form a layer of material that's so strong it's able to stop a knife point and even some bullets. Many types of vests worn by military and the police incorporate Kevlar. Think of God's peace as Kevlar, surrounding your heart, surrounding your mind. God's peace is stronger than the challenges you face or the heartaches that you carry. God's peace is able to guard our hearts and our minds, even in the most difficult of situations, even when our lives hang in the balance. Today, God knows the challenges that you face, the anxiety or heartache that you carry. He doesn't always make our challenges disappear in the way we want them to, but he promises something much, much better. His peace, which transcends all understanding, made available to us in every situation. Today, let's choose to live our lives in a way that's completely open, completely honest before him. Lives in which we spread out before him the challenges that we face and then look to him alone for deliverance. As we do, God's peace will fill us, surround us, and guard us. And we will experience the same miracle of grace that Paul did when, from a Roman prison with his life hanging in the balance, he offered his prayers and his thanks to God. Would you pray with me? Lord God, you offer us supernatural things, things that cannot be imagined, things that could never be experienced apart from your miracle within us. Today we thank you for your peace that transcends all understanding, which guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, which forms a shield around us. No matter what situation, no matter what challenge we face, as the threat increases, your peace just draws all the more near. Lord, I pray that each one of us today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would experience this amazing peace. We pray this in Jesus' name.